Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Awake. This is September 2022, and we are talking this month about risk. So we're talking about specifically in this workshop, we're going to be talking about freaking out in the face of risk, which is just something that kind of just happens when you're risking something. So before we begin, just I want to invite you to make sure that you have your journal on hand, you have a pen on hand. You maybe want to grab some drink. Warm water is always my beverage of choice. That is just something I like to sip on here and there. Make sure you're comfortable. And I also want to invite you to think about how you want to engage with this workshop. If you want to watch this entire recording from start to finish and do all of the exercises as they appear in real time, that is absolutely available to you. But if you want to kind of make up your own rules, if you want to stop this recording every 15 minutes and just take in these little bite-sized pieces, absolutely, you can do that too. I want you to know that there's no wrong way to listen to your own needs, and there's no wrong way to approach embodiment. So speaking of embodiment, let's get grounded here. Let's get present. We're going to do some breath to just invite us into our bodies. As a reminder for folks who have heard me say this before, when we breathe, our bodies and our minds are in communication. When we're holding our breath or perhaps breathing too shallowly, then those lines of communication aren't as strong. And we end up in, feeling a lot more feelings that we don't really care to feel, like a lot of fear. And we're also, when we're breathing, we're able to be in touch with the world around us, as well as our own physical sensations. So it's a win-win. Let's all breathe together. So we're going to practice a form of pranayama that is called Nadi Shodhana. Nadi Shodhana is a really simple pranayama. Many of you may have done this before in a yoga class, and I'm going to teach it here for everybody, as if we're all beginners, because it is really effective to always hear the teaching again. And the first thing that I'll share is that the purpose of Nadi Shodhana, which is called alternate nostril breathing, that's another term for it, is that it balances the lunar, the left side, and the solar, the right side. And other terms for lunar and solar are feminine and masculine, or inner and outer. So you begin to see how what we're doing is we're balancing opposite energies through the breath and allowing the breath to guide us into our bodies. And in our bodies, we can have the full expression of who we are, which is both masculine and feminine, both inner and outer, both lunar and solar. Okay. So when we're feeling this, we're able to have a far better experience of life. So I'll walk you through the practice. Take my glasses off. If you have glasses, I would recommend taking them off. They just might get in the way. You won't need to see anything for this anyway. So what we're going to do is the first thing is you're going to take your index finger and your middle finger, and you're going to curl them up and bring them to the base of your thumb, keeping your ring finger and your pinky and your thumb extended. Now your ring finger and your thumb are going to be the active players in this practice of Nadi Shodhana. And what we're going to be doing is practicing as we breathe, closing one nostril with the right nostril with your thumb, closing the other left nostril with your ring finger. So it's going to alternate back and forth as we move the breath. So we're going to begin by doing a little math, okay? Because there's a ratio aspect to Nadi Shodhana. What we want to do is on the first breath, which will be through the left nostril, we will be counting the length of our inhale. And you want to just do a really even counting. So it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Whatever your count is, that's your count. And that is going to depend on the rest of the counts, because what we're working with is a ratio of, here's the math, one breath in. So one breath count. So let's say it's 6. 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then we're going to use both of our fingers to close the nostrils, bring the chin to the chest, and we're going to do 4 of those counts. So if it's 6, then you're going to do 4 counts of 6. And then you're going to open on the right side and exhale through the right nostril for 2 counts of 6. And again, whatever your breath count is, that's your breath count. It may be 6, it may be more, it may be less. Depends on your lungs. Everyone is a little different. Allow for that difference to be an expression of you. It's all perfect. after you do the full in, so it's one, hold four, exhale two, we're going to go back the opposite way. So we're going to go in for that same one, hold four, and exhale two. And we'll do this four times. I'll walk you through it. Okay, so to begin, just take a few minutes to just feel your body. Ideally, you'll be a bit upright. So lying down is not great for this. Slouching is not great for this. So having some expression through your spine, it doesn't have to be stick straight, but just some expression through your spine. You might need some little support in your back. All of that's great. And you can be seated in a chair, seated on the floor, however your body wants to be seated, but sitting up, somewhat straight spine with the support that you need to make that feel the most comfortable expression. Okay, so we'll begin again, bringing that index and middle finger to the base of your thumb. And we'll begin by closing the right nostril. And then again, counting that in first in-breath through your left nostril. So counting. Whatever the count was, four counts of that breath as you close both nostrils, bringing your chin to your chest. Lifting your chin and then exhaling through the right nostril for two of those counts. So one, two, three, four, five, six, two, two, three, four, five, six, depending on what your number is. Immediately inhaling through the right. Holding for four counts of that breath count. And then lifting and then exhaling for two, for a count of two out of the left nostril. That was one full round. Now we're going to go for number two. Immediately inhale through the left. Hold four counts. Lifting your chin, exhaling through your right. And if my pacing is too fast or too slow, go at your own. Immediately inhaling through the right nostril. Chin to chest, drawing both nostrils to close, holding for four. Lifting your chin, exhaling through the left nostril for a count of two, two of those breath counts. That was round two. We'll do two more. This is round three. Inhaling through your left nostril for a count of the one count. Closing both nostrils, chin to chest, holding for four. And then lifting your chin, exhaling through the right nostril for a count of two. Inhaling immediately through the right nostril. Holding for four. And lifting your chin, exhaling through the left. Count of two. Final one. Inhale through your left nostril. Holding, closing both nostrils, chin to chest. Holding for four. Lifting your chin and exhaling through the right, count of two. Immediately inhaling through the right nostril for that one count. Holding, closing both nostrils, count of four, chin to chest. Lifting your chin and exhaling for a count of two out the left nostril. When that count is done, release your hand and just pause. Notice how it feels to be in your body right now. Notice what it feels like to have done that breath. What do you notice? Okay, Opening your eyes. That was Nadi Shodhana. A reminder for some of you, a first time for others, but it is a very, very effective practice. It's one of the simplest and most attainable forms of pranayama, and it has profound effects if you are doing it regularly. All right, so let's continue on with today's teaching. So as I mentioned, we're talking about freaking out. And where I want to begin, where I want to ground us, is on the back bumper of your average car. And what happens on that back bumper is that we slap these stickers on there. And these stickers on there have these catchy phrases that make us feel like we're actually changing the world, even though all we're doing is putting a sticker on our car and sharing our worldview. And there's a bumper sticker that's always stuck with me from the moment I first saw it when I was probably about 19, which was several years ago at this point. And it says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And what I want to do is shift that, because I think that bumper sticker is a bit outdated at this point in time. And what I want to say is, if you're not freaking out, then you're not paying attention. Why am I saying that? Why am I talking about freaking out? Because there's a lot to freak out about. The towers are falling. The cliffs are eroding. The gates are crashing open. And nobody told us that this was coming, at least not everyone got the message. And what happened is that when the pandemic hit, that level of intensity escalated to an almost impossible rate. So we have a lot to freak out about. Meanwhile, the world is crashing around us. Meanwhile, we still have to take action in our lives. And what happens is that all of these actions are now much more high stakes. All of these things that we have to decide what we're going to do with them. And the reality is that no one has a clue what they're doing. This is a massive club. You're part of the best club. If you feel like you have no idea what you're doing, you are part of the best and most popular club that exists in the world. Welcome to this club where no one knows what they're doing. So it means that every choice that we make has a huge amount or a small amount of risk associated with it, but some risk associated with every single choice that we make. And the nature of risk is that it's about the unknown. Risk is, I don't have the answers. I cannot predict the future. I'm an intuitive. I don't predict the future on purpose because it's all unwritten. But when we're dealing with the unknown, we have the question of whether or not we're making the right choice. So what happens is that the ego, which is so invested in being right, it just starts to get a little uncomfortable. And the ego feels all this uncertainty and all this confusion and starts to scream at you, why don't you feel certain all the time? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you that you can't just make up your mind and know that you're going to be right about that? This is what causes us to freak out. It's that ego dissonance against the backdrop of these incredibly high stakes risks, these high stakes situations where we have to make choices and take huge risks and have no idea what we're doing. And, you know, it is becoming increasingly clear that people don't really know what they're doing, and they've never had any idea what they're doing. But it appears that everyone else seems to know what's going on. So it's our own egos freaking out that causes us to freak out. Our own ego's desire for control. I'm not trying to bash the ego because the ego has a lot of benefit. We're going to get into that in a different session here. That's not for today. It's with us though. The ego is with us for better or worse. Okay. So to say that I should never freak out, it's not really going to be an option. Sorry. What is an option is learning how to freak out more wisely, to expect freakouts and anticipate them happening in your life, and learn to deal with them. And that learning to freak out more wisely is the focus of our workshop today. That's all we're doing today in this month's Awake. So I want to start off by saying that freaking out is going to look different to different people. And we're going to go into an evaluation of how we particularly freak out. It's important to know that. So some of us might suffer from panic attacks. Some of us might have flare-ups of chronic conditions or digestive issues. Some of us might feel pain in our bodies. Some of us might have changes in our sleep or different ways that we might have patterns of emotional outbursts. Like we might get angry, we might get blamey, we might get victim-y, we might get overwhelmed, or we might just have this sense of like this absolute inability to act. Or belief that that is an inability to act. The list is as unique as you are. It is as unique as your fingerprints. And that's a wonderful thing. What that also means is that we have unique ways of coping with freaking out. My coping strategies aren't going to be the same as yours. And I'm going to use different coping strategies based on what I'm freaking out about and how I'm freaking out. Today, we're going to play with understanding both of those patterns, how we freak out uniquely, and the ways that we might be able to employ coping strategies that are different from the list of things that you see on a meme on Facebook or Instagram. We're going to find our own way. But first, there's this elephant in the room around freaking out, and I need to name it. It's called trauma. Trauma, which is essentially it's unresolved emotion or unresolved action in the body. This is oftentimes at the root of freaking out, meaning we're not actually freaking out about the thing that we're freaking out about. We're freaking out about 10 years ago when that thing happened. That's what we're freaking out about. But it's an unresolved sensation in our body. It's an uncompleted action. And therefore, we're going to continue to freak out about it until that cycle completes, okay? It's kind of like having an emotional traffic jam, or you can think about it as if you had a really, really big meal and you ate far too much. And then the next few days, it's going to have some difficulty getting other things to digest very well. You're going to have some constipation or some messy stuff happening in your digestion, right? You have to treat emotional digestion in the same way, which is essentially at the root of resolving trauma. So I want to share this though. Just like it is possible to reset your physical digestion with, say, a couple of days of lighter eating and maybe some after meal walks, it is possible to reset your emotional digestion, which is just a matter of shifting a few things, which we're going to play with today. But I want to share with you, because there's all this talk about trauma. People talk about, oh, I went to the post office and I got traumatized from that, you know, or, you know, there's a lot of like this word is thrown around a lot without a lot of real understanding of what it is and what the effect is on the body. So think about trauma as being something that happened too much and too fast. In other words, it's an experience that moved faster than we could process. So that could very well happen at the post office. I am not going to take away from your experience if you were truly traumatized at the post office. It can happen. It can happen anywhere. It can be a big violent thing. That's often what we think about is, oh, a car crash or, you know, sexual assault or something like that. That is trauma. But trauma can also have, it can also occur when we don't get our needs met. So for instance, if you're an adolescent and you're going through all sorts of big changes that are just normal process of getting older, of being, you know, kind of moving from child to adult, and you didn't get the care and attention that you needed, you were overlooked, not necessarily neglected to the point where you didn't have food and shelter, but just simply overlooked. That can also create trauma. Having unmet needs can create trauma. Having violent experiences can create trauma. So I want to invite you to think about it from that perspective. That also, what happens in those experiences of the too much, too fast is that we are usually forced to make a choice. We are forced to take a really, really high risk choice. And this is a place where the stakes are very high. There's a reason I was talking about the freaking out and all of the towers that are falling, because all of us right now feel like we have to make these choices that are very, very high stakes. And so it is, I have seen more and more people who have imprints of trauma just from simply living through a global pandemic and watching the news. So what I want to say is this, is we are forced to make choices when we're in high stakes situations. We have to choose. And even inaction, so non-action, is a choice. And so what I want to say to you is that without knowing all of the details about what you've been through in your life, how you have spent the last, you know, 3-4 years, or your whole life, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 60 years. Okay. Without knowing all of those details, what I can say to you is this: with absolute clarity and certainty and belief in what I'm saying here, you made the choice that made the most sense given an impossible situation. I'll say that again. You made the choice that made the most sense given an impossible situation. Give yourself at least that, at least that. And just know that what you can do is clean up any mess that you've made from that choice that made the most sense in an impossible situation. You always have the chance to clean it up, always. Which is a shift in thinking about trauma from the kind of undereducated concept of like, well, this traumatic thing happened to me and therefore I am scarred for life and I will always be this way. So I invite you to shift that, to think about it as, this is just something I need to clean up. This is like a big wound that needs tending. And depending on the wound, it might be open and festering and infested. It might be a scar that has grown over and doesn't have sensation. No matter how it appears, this wound needs tending. And so we're going to play with how to tend to it today. But I want you to break free from this idea that trauma, the thing that happened too much too fast, will be forever the same way. Just like you believe that if you cut your finger, that it will heal and you can watch your skin actually healing, I want to invite you to believe the same thing about your emotional cuts. They can heal. They will probably, you might have a little, like, you know, little scar. I'm always in the kitchen cooking. And so trust me, I have some cooking scars. My skin will never be the same, but I can tend to them. Even the scars, I can actually bring back sensation to those points. Here I am tending to this one particular really bad cut that I had there. And it can improve. It will not act the same way as it does right now forever. All right. So let's get into playing with some of this concept. The first thing that we're going to do is we are going to pull out our journals. So I invite you to, I prefer journaling on paper. And there's just a bit of a different feeling where you can have your pen associated with paper. I highly recommend that. And if that feels like just not reasonable for you, then yeah, do it on your phone, do it on a computer. But I encourage you to go get a journal, because I bet that once you start to feel what it's like to hold something like this in your hand and see the words that you're creating from your pen, get a good pen too, then you're going to become like me, who has a pile of 30 journals sitting up on my shelf over here. So the first thing that we're going to do with our journals today is that we're going to make an inventory of all the ways that you act when you freak out. So how do you relate to yourself and how do you relate to others? We're staying in the acting right now. We're going to expand it in a moment. We're staying in how do you actually act? So for instance, some examples might be that when you're freaking out, you might shut down and not be able to actually talk. Like you may not actually be able to find words that describe your feelings, or words that you can express your freaking outness. That might be one way that you freak out. That's how you act. People ask you for how you're doing and you're like, meh. You might yell. People ask you how you're doing and you might start screaming at them. You might talk nonstop, just a complete chatterbox and just having a stream of consciousness, nervous talking. You might nitpick the people all around you. You might nitpick yourself and be consumed with negative self-talk when you're freaking out. You might find that your brain is completely filled with thoughts that are obtrusive and invasive and you can't get them to stop. You might just simply go numb and feel nothing. All of it is your unique way of freaking out. How do you act? How do you act? We're going to write for 3 minutes on that question. And I will play a little music as backdrop without sound, without words.
Mundo. Samba.
Begin to just final thoughts. Make a few last notes here. Okay, now we're going to take a step slightly back from the actual moment of freak out and ask the question, how do you know when you're freaking out? Because we take it for granted, like, oh, I go numb. Okay, but how do you know you're numb? So in other words, we're going to track in the next part of our journaling activity, we're going to track the physical sensations that are associated with our particular freak out. So for instance, you might notice that you're tensing up. And I encourage you to look both at the moment of freaking out and slightly before. So if you find that you find tension in some part of your body, maybe you're making fists, or maybe your jaw clenches up, maybe your shoulders tighten, maybe you find that your body just wants to move and just run. What physical sensations are you experiencing either right before or during a freakout? How do you know that you're actually freaking out? So again, we're going to make a list and, another 3 minutes. I'll set another song on so we can enjoy. Okay, begin to just wrap up. That was a shorter song. I'll give you a few more seconds here. Okay. Put your pens down. The next list we're going to do it's a two-part process. We're going to write a list out of all the things that have ever helped when you're in the process of freaking out. Like when you're in a state of freaking out, what's helped you? But I'm not going to make it really easy for you, or rather, I'm not going to make it simple. I'll make it easy. What we're going to do is we're going to have you can take your journal and either just fold a piece of paper in half or you can just make a line right down the middle. Or you can alternatively take one page and have it be for one side of the list. I'm going to explain in a moment. And the other page for the other list. On the left side, whatever format you take, the left side of this list is going to be all of the nice things that you do when you're freaking out. So in other words, all of the things that you might do for self-care that you would tell your mom about. So you might say on that list, I took a bubble bath. I went and took a walk. I called a friend. I joined therapy. I took a yoga class. All the things that would you would have no problem telling your mom, put them on the left side of that list. That is your nice list. And you can label it as such, right? Nice at the top. And the other list is going to be the naughty list. These are the things that you would never tell your mom you do, or at least not under any normal circumstance. So maybe you binge eat. Maybe you have a lot of sex, or you masturbate excessively. Maybe you work out and maybe too much, right? Like working out excessively. Maybe you're calling the wrong friend who's not going to really help you, but it's someone who might actually just add fuel to the fire. But maybe there's some fun in that. Maybe you go skydiving. Maybe you stay up all night on a cleaning spree. Whatever you do that you might be hesitant to tell your mom about, we're going to put that on the right side of the list, the naughty list. And the key to this is that it may not be an activity that you actually approve of right now. This might be something that you feel a lot of shame about. That's why it's on the naughty list. Okay. And yet there's some part of it that works. There's some part of it that works. So if you reach for a drink every time you feel stressed, yet you don't really want to drink anymore, there's something in it that's working for you. So add it on the list. You don't have to share these with anyone else. This is just for your own benefit. So we're going to write this time for 5-ish minutes because it might need a little bit more time to get some of these, the naughty stuff, to have permission to actually put it on paper. And you're welcome to never show this to anyone. You're welcome to burn it immediately after you're done with this, but get it out. Just write it down, even if it's not something that you want to continue having in your life. Okay. So let us go. 5 minutes. Thank you. for a minute. Begin to finalize your thoughts. Knowing that you can come back to that list anytime you want to complete it or read it again, refine it, whatever you want to do with it. You can burn it, like I said, after this is done, so that no one ever sees the really naughty stuff that you do, that some of those things might really help. And just because there's a lot of emotion that got stirred up when we talk about freaking out, there can be a lot of emotional energy. And what I want to do is just take a break, and we're going to do a quick embodiment practice that is kind of like a private freak out, okay? So I'm going to play a song, and the song is just an invitation for you to move your body in any way that it feels like it needs to after doing the journaling that we've done so far. And then we're going to come back and finalize this. So in the movement, when I play this song, it's not about doing it right. And in fact, if you don't like the song when I picked, if it's not really vibing for you, pause it, pick your own song, and come back when it's done. But I want you to move according to how you want to move. Look, remember, there's no right way, there's no wrong way, and there's no right way to meet your own needs. Or is there only a right way? I think that's it. But there's no wrong way to meet your needs. So whether meeting your needs today looks like endlessly pacing the room in nervous energy, or it looks like going into some wild sensual dance and you're flipping your hair all over the place, whether it looks like stripping all of the bedding off of your bed and, you know, just destroying something, or, you know, maybe you're screaming into a pillow, or maybe you're rocking yourself in a corner. Maybe it's just some gentle touch. Allow yourself to move at 100% of what you want, with 100% approval of what your body wants. So you can imagine, if that's impossible for you, just imagine that 100% might be possible at some point, and this is the starting place for that. So you might not know what you're doing. You might not know why you're doing it. It might feel awkward. Your mind might come in and say, you should really move like this. This is how I was trained to move in a certain way to release stress, right? And the reality is I want you to just get out of the way of yourself. Be the weirdest version of yourself that you can be in the privacy of your own space, which is another way to say, just follow your body and don't think, which will be easy once you start to follow your body. The mind will turn off, okay? So we're going to play this song, and just invite you to move around, do your thing. I'll be given little tidbits of guidance throughout. Okay. So private freak out, however you want to move, just release the tension that might have come up, or anything that might feel tense in your body. All right, here we go. Just explore what this is like. How does the music invite you to move? Tension, do you want to release right now? You go to 100% right now. Anything that you're not doing right now that you want to do. Begin to find some pleasure in your private freedom, and enjoyment, allowing yourself to take whatever you want. What else can you do? Where else can you go? What is your body asking you right now? Follow it.
10 Hail Marys, I meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements by my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqua. That's fire hydrous and hazardous. Smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, drive for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Honestly, guiding me, I can be more than I gotta be. Stole from me, lied to me, nation hypocrisy, code on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates
100%
in the high desert,
yeah. 100%
open our mind as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it forever reads.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Cause I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom ride in hell. Hey, I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Last minute, let go. Do what you want to do. No restriction. No restriction. We're clapping for you. Okay. Thank you, Beyonce. Thank you, Beyonce. So just in a few minutes here, a few moments of silence, just collect yourself. And I invite you to just sit and soak in what just happened. If it was glorious, if it was difficult, if it was nothing, just soak that in. Focusing on your breathing. How is your breathing right now? How could you make it more expansive? How could you make your breathing invite you into your body deeper? Okay, let's come back to our journals because we're going back to the naughty and nice list. Just like Santa Claus, it's time for a second type of inventory. We're going to go through these two lists that we made, the naughty and nice list, and we're going to ask the questions, which of these actually works and in which context? And we're going to actually, what I invite you to do is like actually explore what really works, what actually works. Not what just looks good on a text to your mom. Say, hey, mom, I was freaking out earlier. And I know I texted you, but now I'm in a bubble bath and I'm listening to my mantra playlist and I'm going to meditate in a little bit and probably eat a really great meal, then go to bed early. And I promise you, I'm perfectly fine. And you don't need to fly out here and cook for me for a week and take care of me like I really, really need. That is not what we're necessarily only focused on. Now, some of your things on your nice list might be great, but your naughty list might also have some really great coping strategies that you just wouldn't tell your mom about, and that's totally fine. So context, though, context is key here. Because for instance, even on the nice list, there might be some great things on the nice list, but context, if I don't have time for a bubble bath and my stressor is around time, good Lord, that's the wrong option. Likewise, if I want to smoke weed, right? If that's on my naughty list and that is not a great idea, unless I'm like really free of responsibilities and I'm not using it to avoid getting free of responsibilities. So context matters greatly. Context matters. And so, thinking about it, like if you're going to go to bed early, that's only helpful if your brain is able to stop thinking. Maybe binge watching Netflix is useful, but with a limit and only when your body is in a state of exhaustion and not in that kind of energized kind of freak out, which you might have experienced, like that might be better for taking a walk. Okay. So we're going to pick a couple of things from our list. And first of all, just going to go through your list and just make a little star next to the things that you actually really do like, that things that like really, really work that you'd be able to employ, that you'd want to employ. And then once you've made the stars on your list, you are going to go through and you're going to write out the context in which these will be helpful. So first, you're making little stars, just finding, you don't have to choose everything, but just making little stars next to the things that you truly do get a lot of benefit from. And then taking a hand, maybe three of those, and then writing out in which context do those work. Going back to a reminder of the different ways that you freak out. If you have a more energized kind of freak out, in which context do you need to expel the energy, or when do you need to actually calm down or kind of force yourself to relax? So go ahead, make your little stars, pick your favorites on the list, and then write out the context in which you would want to employ these. And one word before I put on some music here, one word that I want to share is the permission to go into that naughty list. And in the same way that you practiced or maybe achieved permission in the private freakout we just did to that Beyonce song, getting 100% into what you want with 100% approval. I want you to look at that naughty list as a potential for a tremendous amount of stuff that can actually really help you. So no judgments on yourself is another way to say that. Without thinking about what should work, let's look at what actually does work and in which context. Okay, let's go. Thank you. Shutting that door. We put our pens down. We're going to go into the final practice for today. And this is what the culmination of all of that, that you've just done, all of the journaling you've just done. We're going to write a short manifesto. What I can do when I'm freaking out that really works. We're not going to share this list with your mom or not share it with your mom. This is a list that's completely for you. This manifesto is completely for you. So starting with this prompt, when I feel blank, listing out the type of actions or the sensations perhaps, or the actions that make up your freak out, when I feel or act blank, I can blank. Insert the types of practices that work for your particular freak out. And all that context that you just wrote about matters here. So when I feel numb, I can go and relax in bed and focus on feeling little bits of sensation. When I feel really energized and spun out, I can go for an aggressive hike in the mountains. You see, so this is, you've begun to write out several different ways that you can uniquely tend to your freak out, understanding as we covered in the beginning, not freaking out is not an option. Sorry. So let's learn how to more wisely freak out. And this will help you avoid some of those things that are probably on your naughty list that are not so great, that are not so helpful. And those things on your nice list that you're doing just to be a good person. You're doing because social media told you that getting a pedicure is good for you for some reason. I find them slightly uncomfortable, but so you'll likely have things on both lists that are not going to be the greatest things that you're doing, either for performance on the nice list or to cover up feelings on the naughty list. So when I feel blank, into those physical sensations, or actions when you freak out, I can blank. Insert the practices that really work. Okay, let's go. So we are. Obviously, you can refine this practice. You can go back and shift and rewrite everything that you just wrote here. And then if you're looking for your next tattoo, perhaps you take a few of these and put them on your forearm so that anytime you're freaking out, when you're freaking out, not if you're freaking out, you can just simply look down and go, oh, okay, I'm going to choose that one. Here's the context that works for this type of freak out, for wisely freaking out, for intentionally going into the feeling and allowing it to express itself without trying to suppress it or do the right thing, do the nice thing. Do the thing that really, really works. Because life is not about to get simpler. Life is not about to get easier. Life has always been challenging and complex, and that's not changing. I wish I could say otherwise, but history and the present have frankly shown that that's not going to be the case. So you're going to have to continue to learn how to deal with risk in the choices that you make, in the face of high stakes, in the face of past unresolved trauma. But you can do it wisely. And you can do it in exactly the context that you need, using exactly the tools that speak to you. Thank you for freaking out with me today. I'll see you soon.